VoiceOver describes what's happening on your iPhone screen.
VoiceOver on, settings.
So you can navigate it just by listening.
Books, contacts, calendar, double tap to open. Breakfast with Anna from 10 to 11.
And get on with your day. Accessibility. There's more to iPhone.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome back to this special edition of the Game Football Podcast from The Times with Wickham Wanderers goalkeeper David Stockdale, who of course is now in a playoff final in League One. His team have beaten MK Dons, so good luck to David and the team. But in this episode, he'll be talking more broadly about his career, the best players that he played with, which goalkeepers he learnt from, and how he interacts with fans from opposition teams. The playoffs, the Football League playoffs, are synonymous with being the ultimate thing that neutrals love and fans and the players, surely the players feel the same as the fans of the clubs. Don't you hate it? You don't want to be in the playoffs, really, do you?
Do you know what? It's funny you say that, but every player would say, if you could guarantee me promotion, it'd be through the playoffs.
Really?
Yeah, and I was on the bench with Wickham last time, but what a ride.
Yeah.
What a ride. It was... And in COVID as well, and we was like, imagine if there'd have been fans there.
Yeah.
You know, Oxford Wickham as well, because they call it the synonymous M40 derby. It's incredible. Mm. And to play at your national stadium in the final, lift the trophy. We were lucky that we managed to play football in COVID times. Mm. So things happened, your family weren't there. So we ran inside and got FaceTime, well, you know, so people could be involved with us. And I think they had to kick us out of Wembley at 11:30, 11:45. I think they had another event on the next day, but it was like, you're going to have to get out. And I was like, we just won. Well, you can't kick me out of Wembley.
But that was an amazing run, wasn't it, with Wickham? You know, you were one of the stories of that season. You know, I can remember we did loads and loads of pieces, and we weren't the only newspaper. Everyone was suddenly obsessed with Wickham. Was that Brighton? What was your kind of happiest time as a footballer in terms of everything coming together? Club, where you were, you know, the run, where how you were playing.
I've been really fortunate. Fulham, I didn't play, as in longevity. I was there a lot of years, but not loads and loads of games. Fulham as a club, brilliant. Brighton as a club, brilliant. Wickham as a club, brilliant. So I've been really lucky to find three clubs where I felt at home and being able to do something on the pitch. Mm. Not so much Fulham, but being able to play in the Premier League, holding my own, playing games, do moments that have helped Fulham win points in the Premier League. Brighton, first promotion to the Premier League. Wickham, first promotion to the Championship. These are things that you can't change. History cannot even change them because it was the first time. So being able, like people say, ah, oh, Brighton now doing well. And you don't think, oh my God, they won't be there if it weren't for me. But you're like, you feel part of that club. Even now, people talk about Fulham. I only played about 60 times. Mm. You know, not like a club, but they want to talk about the Brighton. Now Wickham, if we can do it again. You know, those are the memories that stick in. And then I went on loan to some great clubs with great managers. Gained promotion with them. Steve Bruce at Hull. Nigel Pearson at Leicester. And my advice to people is, go out and make them memories. People think, oh, alone, does my club not want me? Mm. No, go out, make memories and improve your football career while you're making memories. And it just shows you. I went alone to Rotherham with Mark Robbins. While I was at Birmingham, he took me on a major loan to Coventry. You know, because we still had a relationship, we'd gone through good times together, I'll take him, I know him. And that's what I said to one of the young lads at Wickham. He's gone out on loan. I said, you do well at that level, you're also creating relationships that, what happens if they go a League Two manager? Say, I know him, I know what he can do for me. He takes you in and you're like, oh, all of a sudden you're in and you're playing at a new level or a new club. You've always got that to drop back on, if you know what I mean. So when I went out to Wakefield and Emily's and stuff, if I can do it at that level and people know I can do it at that level, you get seen, you get heard, people talk about you. So it's all about pushing yourself. And I always come back to it, it's memories. First time in this building today, as I said, I'm taking you upstairs. It's a memory.
Yeah.
Oh, if I go back to Leeds,
I think we need to clarify why I'm taking him upstairs. Yeah. It does sound
to see the view. It is a good view, to be fair.
I'm from Leeds. I'll probably ever see Leeds from here. The highest I go is to the Queen's Hotel in Leeds, you know.
Yeah.
Or the train station. But you know what I mean?
Memories. What's it like walking into so many new changing rooms? Because the only thing comparable for me, because I did play football, is I went to Tottenham ladies, and they were a very tight-knit group.
Mm.
And I walked in, and the hatred, the absolute hatred, and I wasn't prepared for it.
Right.
And they said, well, let's see what you can do. And we had some sprinting, and I beat the captain in a sprint. Well, that didn't go down.
Oh, dear.
And I thought, well, surely you should be pleased, because I was really fast in my day.
Why didn't they just say, oh, she's in?
No, they didn't like it. What's your nickname? Because my nickname wasn't something that began with C and ended with T. They weren't interested.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, it was just totally cliquey. Have you never walked into a dressing room and thought, this lot, they're going to be hard work?
I can honestly say no. Like, I've walked into one where I feel like I'm alone, but not as in hard work. It's just that they don't know you. And once you get... And that's another thing. Jump straight in. Go talk to people, you know. I'm not going to bite. I'm not going to hurt you. What's the worst I can say is no. So it's about getting involved with the things that they're doing at that club or just... And luckily, as it went on, I'd played against some of the players, so you come across them. But some of them, to start with, when you're going on loan from Fulham, it's an expectancy. It's coming from Premier League. It's got to be good. So a lot of it's on the training ground. Start with, oh, he's good. You know, we'll talk to you now. Not we'll talk to you now, but it's like, oh, yeah. Yeah, he's got something. But I've never honestly been into a changing room and gone, I do not want to be here. Never.
Do you think it's an advantage being a keeper? Because as you've all
Yeah, because we're very different.
You are different.
Yeah. And everybody expects you to be very different in the mind. So they kind of stay away from you. Don't go near him, he's a bit of a cry. But they know, and that's the running joke. It's a joke. But you're also part of the team. They can't do it without you. Well, they can do it with another goalkeeper, but as in goalkeepers in general. So you've always got that group. You've also always got the card, the goalkeepers union card. So you're in a group, and then you find out about other players, and you'll see players coming up to you and saying hello and things, and that's how you get going. But no, not to your level either. Nowhere.
So I've had a worse experience than you.
Yes, you have.
That's something to boast about, maybe? I don't know.
Sort of.
I don't know if that's if that's a thing. I'll tell you what we'll boast about. You beat the captain.
Yeah, there you go. Exactly.
There you go.
Such a positive mindset, David. I can see why you've had such a long career.
Yeah.
Can I, speaking of long careers and goalkeepers in general, the kind of idea at the very highest level, you know, even Gigi Buffon and all that kind of thing. Why do you think it is? And you talked about at the very start, like a fine wine getting better with age. Why do you think that is with goalkeepers? Is it an experience thing because it's such a pressure role? Is it a fitness thing because, dare I say it, you're not doing as much work?
He said it.
You know, I went for it.
He actually said it.
I went for it.
You basically told me that you're faster than me, and he said, I don't do anything.
Well, not doing nothing, but you're not running as much as the
I understand that.
No, but you know what I mean? Like, it is a thing where at your stage in your career, you could play for another couple of years. We see it in the Premier League all the way down. Well, who knows? You tell me.
Wow, you just tried to sign me for Lincoln City a minute ago.
I'm playing hard to get.
Treating me.
Yeah, exactly.
It's an experience thing, definitely, because you're always learning. There's always something new. It's never the same. I say to some of these lads, like we've got Gareth McClure, Akin Fenwa. I said, you're running around at 40, mate. I said, that can't be nice. He's like, you jump on the ground. And you're 36, what are you doing?
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, I take your point, but we're built for falling on the ground. You know, we're used to it. So you're not doing as much as in, like, expenditure. They run flipping 15 kilometres a game.
Yeah.
So I didn't even drive that far to get here to the game. So I think it does wear down on your mind and body when you exert yourself that much. Ours is more mental, I think. So as you get older, you learn to deal with the mental side. You the old saying is, you might not do it all game, 93rd minute, you've got to make a save. It's more mental, and if you can work your way around your own brain and not get in the way of yourself, I think that's where the goalkeeper expectancy goes on. And like you say, Buffon, nobody's going to say he's the fastest, he can move the fastest, he can whatever. He can put himself in the right places at the right times. He's seen it thousands of times before. His brain goes straight back. Yeah, this is where. It's what I need to do. Don't worry about me. I'm just going to have a bit.
What's the best save you've ever made?
I still go back to the, for relevance and everything, the double save, penalty save against Sheffield Wednesday for Brighton. But I made one. Someone sent me one. I actually forgot about it. Because it was on match day and Gary Lineker put some and tweeted something against Norwich, and it was Ricky Van Wolfswinkel. And after I made the save, he was like, came back and he headed it from about 3 yards, and I managed to like over the back. And at that point, Ricky had not scored in the league for about, I want to say about 20 matches. He went, "You must be joking. How are you pulling off a save like that when I've not scored? I've got the fans down there on my back." It was actually a funny conversation. So that springs to mind. A penalty for Fulham against Man United. It was 2-1 to Man U. And saved Nani's penalty, and then we scored late on. So that, in terms of, oh, I've helped there. You know, and because it was against Manchester United and I'm Leeds United, Leeds just fell in love with me. It was like, he's from Leeds, yeah, that's the boy, you know what I mean?
Are you, what sort of prep do you do before a game on the penalty takers in a team? Do you do loads?
Yeah, I'll look, but a lot of the smart ones are very smart. They'll know that you've looked, and it's like a double bluff. It's like a poker tournament in the penalty area, you know. So you're going to do a big blind or...
Have you faced a Panenka?
No.
No.
Touch wood.
Ooh.
Especially not in the Champions League semi-final.
Yeah. Would you take one? Obviously, we've seen this season with Kepa and
took
Carabao
one in
Cup.
The in Have the Carling Cup this season, if that counts. You can get that one up. Score. That's a good one. Yeah.
Top bin, so?
Top left.
Top left.
It's an enjoyable video.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, I would take one because if I'm going to miss, it'll be spectacular. So if he's either going in, it's spectacular. If I miss, it's spectacular. The good thing for me is, like, he had to take one of the last penalties. I was down as fifth taker at the time.
Oh, right.
But it was to keep us in the cup match, and I managed to save two after.
Oh, brilliant.
So it's one of them where I had a chance to redeem myself. If it just turned out that way, but you've always got a chance to redeem. So if I came second, I'm taking it, and you miss, I've got a chance. Like, I save three, I might get myself out of the quagmire, you know. So I'll take it, but some good penalty takes we've got as well.
Probably won't be that pressure. You've talked some about coaches you've worked with and players you've worked with. You've talked about, you know, teaching players that you work with. Who are the best goalkeepers that you've either worked with or maybe just admired from afar in your career?
Well, the ones that I worked with, Mark Schwarzer was one of the best goalkeepers in the Premier League at that time.
Underrated, do you think?
Very. I hope you don't mind me saying that. He could have had a chance to go to a top four team at the time, and he didn't. I don't know the ins and outs, but it wasn't a surprise. It was literally, oh yeah. Like, he would make saves and I'd go, how am I meant to live up to that? The way he took crosses, and I'm fanboying a little bit, and I probably never even said it to his face, but I used to watch him in awe and be like, that's where you need to be. That is, and it's no wonder. I think, how many games would he have played now in the Premier League? He's got to be at 600.
Yeah, he was right up there.
Middlesbrough, you know, Europa League final, wasn't he? With Fulham and Middlesbrough,
I think he might have been. And he's another one of them that, as we were discussing, played
two Premier Leagues over the age of 40.
Yeah, amazing.
So, just looking back, I've managed to be around a lot of good goals. There's a couple coming through that, like Edison. It makes the game look easy, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It's like we were saying earlier. He used to start off outfield. I think he's still outfield.
Yeah.
He just uses his hands.
How do you feel watching that, like, kind of the progression of a goalkeeper now with the necessity at the highest level to be good with your feet and be able to pass it out?
I really like it because I'm fed up of him saying, just be a goalkeeper, you.
Yeah.
You know, on TV, the goalkeepers, aren't they? Why are they playing out front back when your goalkeeper can't pass it? Hang on a minute. It's because we're still in front of the goal.
Yeah.
Your player just the same player just give it away 40 yards up pitch and he was like, oh well, just because I give it away, they're going to score probably because I'm right in front of the goal. Not as close as Edison, but I was trying my best against Wimbledon the other week. I had nowhere to go and I turned out and luckily the striker ran past me, so I'm not fast enough to get away from him now.
One strange question which you speak to as a fan of a Football League side. I want to know, every football fan has done this, when a goalkeeper's got a goal kick and given it the, oh, has that ever actually worked and put you off?
Never. But I've actually found out a way that you can get them because it, you hold your breath. Oh. So you wait a bit longer. And I tried now and see how far I can get them to go, oh, oh. And then sometimes, if you're time-wasting, you run up and you slow down as if you, like, tripped up. Oh. Turn back around, smile, and they've got to start it all over again. Well, oh. How many breaths can you take?
I mean,
how long can you hold it for?
I'm desperate to be at a game now, next time, when you're playing, and I'm going to be in the crowd and I'm going to try.
Yeah.
That's interesting you say that, because when I had my chat with Ben Roberts and I asked him how he felt about goalkeepers that have a relationship with the fans, especially the away fans, and a bit of banter. And you do.
Yeah.
You get involved. And he said, and he's someone that you regard very highly. Yes. And he said, I hate it. Mm. I absolutely hate it. I don't want the goalkeeper that I coach to interact with the fans. So how have you ignored that, given that you admire Ben, but you still want to have that relationship? Do you just know it's better for you?
He has respect for me as well. He knew what type of character I was. He knew that would get... He knows what works for me. Like, he knows... I don't do it every week, and I know when there's certain times to stop being a clown. So there was never that line where he had to cross and say, hang on, stop being an idiot, will you? So he hated it. But he knew the times that I had to... You can change a crowd's perception of you. So a good example, we played at Exeter in the one that scored the penalty in it, ironically.
Is that the same Exeter that's an hour away from London? That Exeter?
It's about an hour away.
Not the one that's an hour away from London. Yeah. Okay.
If you're flying.
Yeah.
So they were having a bit of banter with me. 0-0. We'd gone down to 10 men. Matt Bloomfield, our captain, had had to come off with a concussion. They were giving me a bit from behind the goal. So to calm it down a bit, and you know when you get in pelters? Oh, I don't know if you do. You get pelters. So I'm thinking, right, how can I turn this round? So they're shouting, you big goalkeeper. So I turn round, grab my belly, was like, laughing like Father Christmas. So the whole crowd goes wild.
Yeah.
Oi. So for the next 5 minutes, when the ball's up the other end, we're playing a game like this. And then I turned around, clapped him, the whole stand clapped. And afterwards, I'd scored the penalty, and so it was a bit of a like, whoa, he's done really well. The amount of Exeter fans, you know what? Fair play.
Mm.
You know what? We get people that don't care. You actually interact. And I simply said, that's what it's all about. You pay money to come. You can shout what you like. If I'm enjoying it as much as you are, we're all good. Because when we were younger, it was like, your dad'd go to football for a pint and a bit of fun, to watch a bit of football. And I still to this day believe that that's what you need. Like Plymouth, they was counting, because it was taking so long on a goal kick. Oh. They was counting how long it took me. So as I was walking back, I was going to them. Well, it went off it, didn't it? And the ref came over and he was like, you need to be careful. I said, why? He went, well, they're going to start throwing stuff. I said, if the pound coins, mate, let them throw them. I managed to get a yellow card for it, like, but things like that. Like, and even Chef Wednesday, it was an important game. Their fans would give me it. Turned around, smiled, give them this old belly joke again, clapped them. They don't care about me. Mm. But what they do care about is they've been heard. They know you've seen it. Good banter, guys.
Yeah.
They clap back. Fair enough. Well played. You know what I mean? And then if you lose, you lose. You clap to them and say, thanks for having us. Or, and that's what I say to people. Like, you lose, you've got to have humility. You've got to say, you know what? You've got to beat. Fair plays. Good luck.
Flip side of that, of course, is you've reported fans who said things they shouldn't have to the referee.
Yeah, I did. And that's That's the point. Like, there's too far.
Yeah.
And there's a fine line nowadays. What's too far? What is it? And it's all dependent on a person. And the homophobic abuse was... It wasn't the whole crowd, I must admit.
Set the scene. Tell us where,
so
when,
it was
where.
Oxford at home, and obviously what happened recently with Oxford. And I was in my lovely pink kit, and I've never had it before. And the words came out. I don't know if I'm allowed to say it. You look like a dildo. You be gay. Anyway, with quite a few expletives. And do you know when it actually hits you and you go, did I just hear that?
Mm.
And it came again. I was like, so it was a free kick. So I just stopped it. And because I'd shouted the ref over, well, didn't I get booed? Because they knew what was coming.
Mm.
I said, look, I just want to let you know. And the ref was like, no, that's fair enough. Went over, got them told. There was an announcement, came over. Then the next thing, like, a lot of fans after were saying, that didn't get said, you're a liar. I said, what am I going to get out of that? I said, if you look on the flip side, as soon as the announcement came out that no homophobic language will be allowed in the stadium or anywhere, they start singing Davy Stockdale is a grass. If you hadn't said it, what am I grassing?
Mm.
You know, so... And then people say... and even Carl Robinson said, I know Davy Stockdale. He's not a liar. You know, let's get them people out. You can't go into a crowd of 2,000 people and pick 15, because I'm not saying it was a whole, it was literally because it had gone quiet as well. So, but to me, I'm not gay, I've got a wife, but what I thought is, what happens if there's a young child? What happens if my child wants to be gay? That's fine. But hearing that, they're gonna think, oh my god, how am I meant to say to my own mum and dad if they think like that? So it was, what if there's a child in there, a person in there that was already came out as gay, feeling uncomfortable at a football game where you've come to watch football? You shouldn't be able to feel uncomfortable anyway. So that was my thought train, and I'm definitely glad I said it, because you can speak up all you want, but to be able to do it in a game in front of 10,000 people and say, hang on a minute, this is what happened, then that's fine. And I'd do it 100 times again. And it wasn't for, oh, look at you, you're a hero. I don't care about that. My mind was actually thinking, oh my god, what? I've got gay friends. Imagine what they'd think of me if I didn't say. Imagine if I went back, you should have heard what they said to me. Why didn't you report it? Oh, well, you know how it'd make them feel. I'm like, what? Why would you come to a game and say that? What? Say my belly's big again. I don't care. But yeah.
Was there any follow-up? Did you hear? Did anyone get banned for life or banned for two seasons?
There was a follow-up with Oxford and the police, but again, it's very hard to pick a culprit out. It's not like they can pick a seat. I can't pick a seat out. I can't pick a net because it's behind me. I can only report it and say, this is what's going on. Keep an eye on it. And the ref was really good, to be fair. I'm not sure what ref it was, but he kept coming up to me throughout the game in that half when I was in front of those fans and saying anything else. I said, no. To be fair, not that I've heard, and it was only that specific moment. So hopefully, whether they got scared, thinking, "Oh my God, they're going to be watching," which is good, and the more people that can say, "Hang on, mate," not just at a football game, that's wrong. If you think that, that's all right. I don't want to hear it ever. That's a right thing to say. You're well within your rights. And then if they give you a bit more barrage, tell someone else. It's about a majority. A majority takes over a minority. It's when the minority thinks they're taking over a majority. It's just about the same people just going, do you know what? That's not right. I would stand and have a debate and say, why did you say that? Oh, it's a bit of fun, isn't it? No, it's not a bit of fun. I'd like to find out what makes you say it. What? Do you have something against it? Like, what? Then educate. Say, right, why don't you find out? Find out what it's like. Have you ever heard a story where someone's tried to come out or committed suicide because they couldn't? And you're saying it as a joke. You know, the serious things, you can't do it on a football pitch, obviously, but being able to stand up and say that for that reason is why I did it, then everyone gets together and it's about being open with everyone, accepting everything's fine as long as it doesn't affect you as a person? You can have your views, obviously, opinionated world. But is it going to affect you that somebody is married to a man or a woman or whatever? No. No. Let them be happy.
Yeah.
You're obviously not very happy if you haven't seen it.
Yeah. In your time, do you think the professional dressing room has become a place where a professional player could walk in and say,
undoubtedly,
I'm gay?
Especially at Wickham, because we literally have me in goal, crazy as can be, whatever you want to do, it doesn't matter.
Mm.
We love you. It's a personality thing. Do what you want to do. No worries.
So it's not the teammates, it's the public, it's
I don't think in most change rooms I've been in there'd be anyone that goes, no, I'm not playing. I would like to stand here and say 99% sure that if someone could, alright, stop going on about it. That's how alright, but if you need any support, like, they'd back you, it's your teammate. It's like when you go into a tackle and you see them all surrounding the ref. You're backing your teammate. You might have got injured or... Alright, stop going on about it, we'll back you. I totally agree with people who would want to come out and say, why would I want to do that when they're going to start seeing this? Like, and it's all about me then. But then I think it's only going to take somebody to be brave enough and understand that it's not like that inside... Actually, inside football...
As you're listening to me, Daisy, Apple's iPhone disassembly robot, is dismantling an iPhone into lots of recyclable parts. That's how Apple recovers more materials than conventional recycling methods. Thanks, Daisy. There's more to iPhone.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You talked about in that scenario then with you and the fans, some good refereeing that you thought took place. Obviously, refereeing is a subject that we talk about endlessly on the podcast, isn't it, Alison? And I wanted to ask your opinion on like modern refereeing and the big one, VAR, because we're talking to you now towards the end of the season, coming into the playoffs that we've already mentioned, there'll be some big contentious issues. What are your feelings as a professional about VAR?
I don't know. I'm a traditionalist, so all those FA Cup games where it was... I remember when Shrewsbury got through, was it against Everton? All them years back, and he was offside.
Yeah.
They not get given, they went through. How can you take that away from a team? That's the FA Cup. Yeah, you might be an offside, but... So I'm very much traditionalist, but then... I don't know.
Stupid question. There won't be VAR at the playoff final because there's not VAR in the league.
No, there won't. But I'm saying that there's been conversations towards the end of the season, as there has been for the last few in the Football League. There was a game, I think it was Luton, and it was a penalty decision in the Championship. Mm. And it was like the other player and the other team handballed it and the referee gave a penalty.
I've seen that.
And it was like, when you watched it back, you're like, how was he given that? And so everyone starts going, well, it's the end of the season. They're all going for the playoffs. They're all going for promotion. We need VAR. And then, but I would be the same as David, go into a game as a fan. And in those moments, it'd be awful. Awful, those moments, those last-minute winners when there was definitely a foul and the, you know, push on the keeper even. So you wouldn't even mind that, you know, a little dig in the ribs that stops you from reaching the punch.
Still get it now. So what's changed? And,
look,
and the magic of football... You've heard the saying, obviously, being in football that long, but it all comes back around.
Yeah.
It'll even itself out, and it does. Mm. You look at things, and we look me and Sam Vokes, we looked at the other, oh yeah, but what about that? Yeah, we got away with that one. So it evens itself out. I'm a big traditionalist, so I like the magic of the FA Cup and VAR. It's like, oh.
There's not much magic with VAR.
No, there's not. It's a mood killer.
But then, do you know, my argument was, so I've seen one where, I can't remember what game, so it said, ref, go and take a look at it. I still think it's an opinionated thing. Yes, they're getting to see it again, but it's still a referee's opinion.
Mm.
So
just trust your unless first
it's
call.
Yeah, unless it's literally clear cut, you can't. So when the ref goes and looks, unless it's like the first finger, oh damn, I got that wrong.
Yeah,
it should be no. But then it's opinions, so it's the referee's opinion. He's just getting a chance to look at it again because you might go, ooh. Actually, show me that viewer.
Mm.
And then it's like, what are we going to have Hawkeye next time?
Yeah.
You know, was it going to go in? Would it have been there? Where was the defender? Was he last man? Was he?
No, I'm with you.
Interpreted rules.
Yeah. Final quick fire one from me.
Yep.
Not including Wickham players, because I don't want to make you biased and just tell Zach and Fenway and a few other lads. Best three players you've ever played with. I've given you three. Come on. I didn't make you pick one.
It's hard. And I keep forgetting some.
It's all right, we won't hold it. We'll, you know.
Outfield. Berbatov.
Yeah. Was he as good in training as, like, you know, yes. He's one of those clip footballers, isn't
yes.
he? Was he like that in training?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just doing ludicrous things.
Yeah. They're all going to have to be forward players, you know.
That's all right. That gives a bit of distance, it means.
Adel Taarabt.
Yeah.
I mean, he didn't do it for Fulham, but when you seen him in training, he was like, yeah, wow.
Because he was one of them that was like, frustrating for a lot of fans and coaches, I imagine, that he never quite, but
lovely
everyone
lad
was
as well.
Like,
he had his moments, didn't
yeah,
he was absolutely beautiful to watch
in training. I was watching him thinking, oh my god, like,
really?
I'm so glad he's on my team. You know, he was the one. And then Jude Bellingham,
you were his mate.
Yeah, yeah.
He owes it all to you, actually.
No, I keep telling his dad that, but I spoke to him a couple of weeks back, and it's amazing what a lovely grown man he's got into and had to mature so quickly. His mum's still out there, she still doesn't know any German, so
really?
I keep telling a few phrases, but they're not the best phrases. At the time, I was just telling someone today, like, I'd take him in from his house training because he couldn't, mum and dad were working or whatever, get into the car, he's got his school uniform on. I'm like, oh my god. So he goes to training, be the best player in training in the first team, go put your school uniform on and get picked up to go to school.
And this is at Birmingham.
Yeah.
So he was how old then when?
16.
16, 15.
15, 16.
My God. And did you know then you were like, this kid is going to...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You could not know.
Yeah.
And luckily we struck up a relationship, unfortunately, because I weren't in the team, so I spent a lot of time with the under-18s. And the first time I came properly across him, because obviously there was a big line divide. I was 35 and he was 18, you know. I was training with the under-18s, but you have to get changed separately and things like that. So I met him in the gym and he was injured. So we had a real good chat about, look, mate, I was trying to say, same age as my daughter, you know. Just do your GCSEs, football will come, you're good enough. And it was a nice story. So we went to get my daughter's GCSE and he rang me later on day and told me what he got.
Oh,
so you're still not as good as me. You might be better at football. So that was a real nice moment. And if he'd have not even gone to Dortmund and he'd not even been playing football, I've managed to affect someone's life in a positive way. So that's what I'm trying to do going forward. And that was the first time. And because he's gone on to do well and I still keep in touch, he's nice. So me and my son are going to go watch him play sometime when we can and go across with his mum and dad. And it'd be nice to see him because It was funny because I was in a hotel room on FaceTime and it was just before he'd got his England call-up. And he said, oh, what are you going to say now? You've had an England call-up and I hadn't. I was like, I never said that. You just said that. Rings me back 2 hours later. Have you seen the news? I said, yeah. But I was in a room with Anthony Stewart and he scored a goal at Wembley for the playoff. So he had a joke with him and said, oh, I've scored at Wembley. Well, didn't he score? Rings back up. Where's Anthony Stewart? And he's like, but that's the thing. He was always like that. He always had that confidence and you had to have it. And it was like, that's the fun thing about seeing someone develop into a very good footballer, but as well as being a good human and having that side, and that's the humility shown. Like, it's all right, wait there, wait a couple of years, I'll come back to you. And now there's not a lot I can say to him apart from, have you? Can you learn to drive yet?
Final question from me.
Okay.
I happen to know you have a weak spot for Liverpool.
Yes.
Do you think they can do the quadruple?
I would love to see it. I mean, I have the weak spot because of my time playing at Anfield, but also my mate Akin Fenwick is a Liverpool fan, and if he says all, he will find me in London today if I say anything. They're good enough.
They are
good enough. Even though I'm Leeds fan, I go back to the Man U Champions League 1999, the treble. What? Just the match. How incredible was it?
Yeah, it was.
Like, from a neutral point of view, it was like, well, I was a Peter Schmeichel fan, so seeing him do a cartwheel, I thought, I've still not done one yet. There could be time. Cartwheel in the final. But yeah, I really hope so. I really hope so.
Thanks for listening to this special episode of the Game Podcast. We'll be back on Mondays and Thursdays to talk about the conclusion to the football season with lots and lots to still discuss and decide.
The train is now approaching. Junction at platform. Passengers, airport, please stay on board. Next stop, Road Station.
iOS helps you control which apps you share your exact location with. There's more to iPhone.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.